the first time in 4 years, there will be October baseball for the Boston Red Sox. Game one of the wild card series this evening, 6:08 first pitch, which you can hear here and all over the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network for free. We are going to get to They Said It coming up, and we'll hear what Aaron Boone said as a bit of a troll in the direction of Alex Cora on what the American League knew about the Red Sox all season long during They Said It, among other things. With regard to the comeback of Jason Tatum, point of reference on his idol, Kobe Bryant, who very quickly returned from an Achilles. 8 months was the return time injury to back playing in the NBA. So I guess that would put things right about January for Jason Tatum, should that be the way things go. This is Mark from Connecticut. Hello, Mark.
How are we doing this morning, everybody?
What's up?
First off, I just want to say, Courtney, congratulations.
Oh, thank you,
first
Mark.
And foremost.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And what I wanted to reference was Stephon Diggs being back from a torn ACL way ahead of schedule, and I think he looks great. You know, as of right now, put up 100-plus yard game last game.
Yeah.
He's starting to look like himself again, but he's not going to be, you know, the Stephon Diggs of old. But I really think that, you know, that could be, you know, something to aspire for Tatum. And one last thing is we need to go get A.J. Brown, guys. Let's make this team a contender. Let's go.
Was it Sirianni who said A.J. Brown hopes to stay with the Eagles or something?
Oh, we'll hear from Nick Sirianni, and They Said It, Courtney. Great tease.
Yes. I mean, when they got Diggs, we were talking about it, and everybody was suggesting that you wouldn't have Steph Diggs back till week 5 or week 6.
Right.
So I don't know whether it's like, you know, European sheep cells that they're injecting or what's going on with people, but they seem to be able to recover from it. Certainly the recovery time on these injuries is much quicker than the recovery time for yours truly on the near fatal Puppygate incident in which I broke my ankle and my leg.
Oh.
I mean, that baby took me forever to come back. Mm-hmm. Still, some who see me participate in the Jingle All the Way 5K every year don't, they think I still have yet to recover from that.
Well, the PTSD is real.
By the way, I'm not going to talk about it until it happens, but there's a collision course between me and the Seaport neighborhood people on the Jingle All the Way 5K.
Uh-oh.
And if it comes down to it, they have no idea the fury, what I can bring to the table.
How could anyone have a problem with it?
Huh?
How could anybody have a problem with it?
Some people missed their travel to the airport last year because of the traffic, and so I'm not going to talk about it until it becomes an issue. What? Yes, Curtis. What?
They have no idea the fury and the furry you can bring.
Yeah, I can bring a furry with me. That's correct.
Damn right.
Are you running the Jingle All the Way 5K this year, Sean?
I might if I'm not doing a show or something.
Sounds like a built-in excuse.
But nope, I'd love to be there.
Do we have a date yet?
Yeah, December 6th.
December 6th.
In the Seaport. Not sure what time we will be allowed to start it. Might be 4 a.m., but I think it's the single greatest holiday event that happens in our beloved city.
Yeah.
Because awesome. Everybody dresses up. There's 2,000 people.
Wow.
We have Christmas music. We have Mr. and Mrs. Claus there. The thing is just, it's got jingle bell feels written all over it every year. So
yeah, and it's almost like you didn't tell everybody it was happening for months, and the people that live in the Seaport are about 7 minutes from Terminal B.
Yeah, no, I mean, it takes one half of a roadway. And barely.
Yep.
And it's a half an hour. I don't get it, but
they're tripping over that.
Yeah. I'm going to be an optimist about it.
All right.
I am going to be optimistic about it.
Yeah. Should let you get your 30 minutes. That's all it is.
Uh-huh.
It ain't bad.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we were in the middle of Leeds. Wiggy, good morning and hello.
All right. Good morning. So with, you know, playoff baseball upon us, I asked this simple question because we've brought it up. It's been a long time since the Red Sox have been here. So I asked the question, are the fans satisfied with making the postseason. Was this a satisfying season for Red Sox fans, regardless of the outcome that happens over the next couple of days? I believe that fans are satisfied.
You do?
I do. I believe that when fans look at it, you know, obviously they want the Red Sox to win, but if the Red Sox were to lose this series, I think this was a satisfying season, and it's more about them building on this young team, because they always talk about it being a young team.
Yeah.
And then the
future is bright, blah, 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 blah.
Bingo.
Listen, I think they have a built-in excuse playoff-wise with some of the injuries. Like, you know, whether that's legit or not, that's going to be for fans to decide. But
right.
Certainly you dealt with you had to deal with the Roman Anthony injury. I don't know what you were expecting from Marcelo Meyer, but you had to deal with that injury.
Now Giolito.
It's always easy to do this, and I'm a victim. I do it the same way, Wiggs. Like, before a series, you could say you're excited and you're okay with the conclusion, but once you see Yankee fans, like, dancing and the actual series go down, if they get swept in two games and don't look good, I think there will be a lot of fans that are frustrated.
Then I think their fans, like Greg said, will lean towards, the injuries, you lost Anthony, they're a young team, they're going to load up, they'll be back, and next year is the year of when the Red Sox will really be able to do some damage. Because we know the injury thing is, you know, that's always going to be a major factor in any sport, is when you start losing key players. But I look at this season and the way it went and the ups and the downs, the highs, the lows, the Devers stuff, all the nonsense that we dealt with, and this team making the postseason, I think a lot of fans are like, oh, I'm just happy that the Red Sox are back in the postseason.
Sounds like a good Mitch poll.
It does.
Are you okay with the Red Sox? Are you good with the Sox season no matter the outcome against the Yankees?
Yeah, is it a success? Is the season a success just because they made the playoffs?
Bingo.
Some version of that thereof. But listen, I have full confidence tonight. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this is why you went out and got and then did a new deal with Garrett Crochet. Like, I mean, this is it. So I have full confidence on tonight. And Shime's lead got me all up in my feels about Brian Bello and about how well he has pitched against the New York Yankees this season.
So. What's Vegas saying, Shime, about this series? The Yankees the favorite?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, the Sox are underdogs tonight, +110 underdogs. I believe for the series, I want to say they're like +120, but I'll double check that.
Why is that, I wonder, when the Red Sox had so much success against the Yankees?
All the games are at Yankee Stadium.
What was their record at Yankee Stadium?
5-2 this season.
Right, so like...
Sox are +135 to win the series.
Red Sox are 5-2 at Yankee Stadium.
Right, so they played pretty well this year. I would have thought that
they might have been. The Yankees were 4 games better than the Red Sox in the regular season.
All right.
Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Okay. 6:08, first pitch this evening. Yesterday was Celtics Media Day, and there to ask a question was the BFF of Jaylen Brown, Bill Nye, the science guy. And I thought his question was interesting, and the answer from Jaylen Brown was interesting. And here is the way that went yesterday.
Then everything happens for a reason, and that reason is usually physics. Yes. Now, a question. WNBA coming on, fabulous, very entertaining to watch. They play with a synthetic ball. Have you guys thought about changing? My understanding is... you give the new balls to the new guys and make them break it in because the balls are too difficult to get a grip on at first. Have you guys thought about changing to a synthetic ball?
100%. I think to this day we still use like pigskin as a basketball.
Yeah.
And I've actually pushed a few years back to make the ball more sustainable. I had an idea that I proposed, I think even to Boston. I don't know if Sully's here, but maybe he can back me on this. Propose like a basketball made of like recycled material. Of like trash in Boston. So it's like you have like a ball that's made from like the essence of like your environment, but it's all sustainable. But I think it got turned down.
Can I say something?
Wow. Yes.
Because I think people are going to clown on Jaylen Brown for this entire thing, especially the Bill Nye stuff.
Curtis in 3, 2, 1.
What a cool connection between academics and athletics for the younger generation that maybe like when I was growing up, mm-hmm. you were either a jock or you were a nerd.
Right.
And I think that there's such a better intersection. I'm being honest, an intersection.
Popular to be both now.
Of the two, where I look at Jalen Brown and he's such says a good role
the,
model.
Says yeah. only the nerds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But like, I don't see anything that's wrong with this. Thing. I don't think it's a bad idea.
Oh,
like,
okay. I'm clowning him. If I'm his Why? Teammate, yo, I am clowning him as soon as he steps foot in the locker room.
For what how reason?
Much, I mean, how many basketballs, honestly, does the NBA need? And how much trash right. would really be recycled? Right.
And why don't you just fly Spirit, Jalen, if you really care about the world? That does far more damage flying private than 30 basketballs. You like?
Well, but like, it's not necessarily like a
it's all a freaking
thing.
Show. If you want to talk to a scientist, go to MIT. Don't bring in Bill freaking Nye.
Well, he's always liked Bill Nye. That's been
right.
the thing.
You want to be
so
a star humper, hump a star. Don't bring
Curtis,
in the press
it's that you're
Curtis.
Making a ball from your environment.
You
not
don't think
you're
you
trying
think
to make
cool
it
if
green.
If James in oh, 5 years be... I don't know why you just rolled your eyes and Uh-oh. Turned your head. I'm looking
because
at you
because it's not
today.
About James. It's what does this have to do with James?
We talk a lot about James. You're a dad, so I'm saying in 5 years, if James is really into science and then looks at Jalen Brown, an athlete who also is really into science, that can get somebody who would never have a connection to the sport before in. I think it's cool.
I will never critique Jalen Brown off the court. I believe his words meet his actions. Bill Nye is a freaking cartoon character. He, if you go, just Google it, all the things he said that have been totally wrong. There are a million brilliant scientists within a square mile of the media day yesterday. We are literally in the center of one of the great scientific hubs in the world. Bill Nye flying in after his star was put on, you know, wherever the hell that was, on Rodeo Drive in L.A., doesn't do it for me.
I don't mind Jalen doing this. It's cool that him and the science guy, whatever.
That they're friends.
I got no issues with it.
That they talk science.
Yeah, but I'm like, if I'm his teammate, I'm bringing trash, and I'm like, yo, Jay, I got some trash here for you get some balls. And what you need is some trash, like, you know. I'm clowning him, like, but that's me, though. You know, I've always clowned nerds. I'm no nerd, but, you know, I guess Jalen is, you know, he loves the nerdy stuff.
All right. Well, if you want to save a little money on the trash service, you can now just drop your trash off with the Boston Celtics at the TD Garden.
Get some basketballs.
And they will turn it into a sustainable basketball.
How much plastic do you think is sold at one Celtics home game?
There's probably a lot of it.
They got all those recycled things.
But it's just so fake. It's not real.
On the flip side, how many pigs' lives could be saved by this?
Oh, that is true.
I'm thinking like 5 to 10 pigs annually.
Well, not saved, but rather than use them for basketball, we could use them for bacon.
Ah, yeah. Or maybe sneakers.
No. I want my pigs in bacon.
Is cow leather being, for those who may be talking about this and have their own sneaker brand.
Jalen has his own sneaker brand.
That's what I'm saying. Are they using leather in the sneakers?
Oh, yeah. How do they make those trash?
I think they're using trash.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to use your recycled trash for the Jalen Brown new 7, I believe it's 741s coming out.
The reason this bothers me, it's just so performative. It's not actually doing anything. There's a million things they could do. It's
maybe
like the ladies who flew into the Blue Origin thing and said they were astronauts.
Yeah,
like,
it's a bit different than that.
Yeah, I don't know, Jalen. Maybe he is like a scientist.
He is. Yeah. Like Jalen Brown. Dude.
Bill Nye is a scientist.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that really honestly bothers me the most about Curtis. He doesn't trust the science.
Yeah.
And I trust the science. Curtis,
you always have.
I have been trusting the science for years.
I mean, this year they said 15 major hurricanes. Oh, my gosh. We've had zero.
Just trust the science.
You know what Bill Nye said?
This is science.
If you deny that global warming is due to fossil fuels, it's like saying you don't believe that smoking causes cancer.
Well, it's confusing right now when it comes to science and weather. I don't want to step on Curtis's toes, but the Farmer's Almanac is saying one thing and some other people are saying others about what New England winter is going to look like. And I don't know who to believe.
Oh, boy.
Well, as long as your left hand ain't trash.
That's a nightmare for you, too, because you're going to be pregnant. So you can't do it. It's really going to be a nightmare
for Santo. Yes.
You can't do any shoveling. You can't carry groceries in.
Yes, science.
I mean, the guy's gonna have to do everything for the next 5 months.
I can't clean off my car.
No, not with a precious bundle of joy in there.
Black ice? Ever heard of that?
Right. He's gonna have to walk you out to the car every morning at 3:30.
Yes.
And by the way, I think it's a perfect time. March is a great time to have your kid because by the time you're kind of waking up a bit from everything, it's summer.
Yeah.
And you can travel for free with The little ball of joy?
Yeah. The insomnia I need to figure out right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
They say, get your sleep now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just
oh,
wait.
I hate when people said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the just wait people are so annoying.
Just wait, right. Courtney.
Just wait. Just wait, Courtney. This is... We have time for this? I think we do. This is Matt. Matt from Halifax. Hey, Matt. What's up?
Hey guys. Hey, I just want to say, it is kind of funny for the recycling thing, but the NBA uses like 45,000 basketballs in a season.
How many?
45,000.
450,000.
Wait, you just said five different numbers. 45,000 or 450,000?
In 2,100 games in a season, they use about 450,000 basketballs.
Damn.
That's impossible.
Wow, it's a lot of basketballs.
450,000 basketballs?
Wow. Okay. That doesn't seem right.
That is that a lot of basketballs.
According to Google AI... the exact number is not known, but it could be in the thousands. Each NBA team receives 72 to 120 new balls to start the season and additional balls used for games.
Right.
Even if it's 30 times 120, that's not right. 450,000.
And if I were Jalen, I would refuse to autograph any basketball because that's just to play with. We don't need to waste them.
All right, let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's Monday Night Football. So the Broncos beat down the Bengals 28-3, and the Dolphins beat the Jets 27-21. Dolphins win, but it's a tough one for Tyreek Hill. He went down with a knee injury. Not only did he dislocate the knee, but he tore a bunch of ligaments, including his ACL. He will undergo surgery today. The big news yesterday came from the Red Sox, with Alex Cora announcing that Lucas Giolito will not be on the wild card roster for the Sox versus the Yankees. Here's Cora.
Lucas, he's not going to be on the roster. He's been battling with his elbow the last few days, and today he went to see Dr. Dugas. So, hopefully it's nothing major, but he won't be ready for this one.
That series kicks off tonight. 6:08 first pitch with Garrett Crochet getting the start. Lou Maloney, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Go Shopping, Get Rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. That is what's trending. It was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. Shaw's and Star Market have lowered hundreds of prices on the items you buy most, like boneless chicken breasts, snacks, cereal, and so much more. See full savings claim details at shaws.com/lowerprices and starmarket.com/lowerprices. Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded.
Point of clarification from a listener who is in the know on the Subaru of New England text line. On how many actual basketballs the NBA uses every season?
1.429, $626.
Amazing. All right. They Said It is coming up next. Coming up at 9, Thursday playoff Red Sox front office report with Craig Breslow. And I am being called on the Subaru of New England text line a homer, Curtis, for suggesting that Garrett Crochet will outpitch Max Fried tonight. So that's fine. I'll accept it. That's what I am.
It is out of character for you to go against a guy that last name spells fried. But
I mean, I've lived here for 58 years. I have never-ending faith and belief in our sports franchises, and so mm-hmm. I'm not concerned about this evening. I am more concerned about tomorrow night and Brian Baio. So
everything that they wanted from Crochet, he has delivered.
Right.
And a lefty is what you need at Yankee Stadium to help prevent the advantage of the short porch and right. I think he meets the moment tonight, and Mitch is probably right. They'll pitch around Aaron Judge and go after everybody else.
Yeah, because I don't feel like Crochet is the – is the least of your issues. It's really about what your bats do. I feel the same way after hearing Chimes lead to about Bayo is the same thing. If your bats are hot, I think your pitchers are going to go out there and they're going to do what they've done for the majority of the season.
Yeah, I mean, do you end up sitting Abreu or Duran against a lefty tonight or something? And I don't know.
I wouldn't sit Duran. I mean, I wouldn't sit him, and I wouldn't sit Abreu either. I mean, but I guess.
And so they feel like Bregman will be fine. Like he flew separately, but he will be good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it's like the flu or whatever. Yeah. Anybody allergies,
stomach
or whatever,
bug, or something like that.
I don't think it's stomach. I haven't seen. Have you heard anybody with a stomach bug?
No. But if they're flying them separate,
no. But
right?
that's you fly them separate. That's great. But then you all share a clubhouse. Like you all share a space the entire time. I saw that Brad Foe had him like a video of him on the field. So. We're just here to assume that he will be good to go. That's why he's out there.
Get him a K95. They must have a few of those lying around since COVID. They can wear a mask.
I just worry about it becoming a problem with other guys that all come down with the same thing.
No, I get what you're saying.
I would bench Duran. He's 0-10 against Freed.
All right.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to Craig Breslow about all of these things coming up at 9, but right now this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it is brought to you every day on this show by Ketch's Law. At Ketch's Law, they don't just work here, they live here. Their attorneys and their staff are your neighbors, and they stand beside you during your toughest moments. Over $3 billion won for injured New Englanders. So if that is you, call them today, and they will help and get you what you deserve. Yes.
So quick notes for tonight. Bregman, 5-for-13 with a home run against Freed. Look for that tonight. And Trevor Story has 2 home runs and 16 at-bats against Freed. So those two might be your guys you lean on for a win tonight in game 1.
Okay, excellent. Where are we beginning this morning?
Well, let's begin with your Boston Red Sox, Greg. Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, talked about Alex Cora, which led him to a nugget that everyone seemed to believe about the Red Sox this season. Here was Aaron Boone.
I think he's really good. I think they play the game within the game really well. You know, I think he's a really good leader. I think his team, you know, kind of embodies who he is. And I think he does a really good job of helping set and define the culture over there. And obviously, you know, they've gone through a couple of tough years, but he's always been the clear leader of that group. And you started to see it come together a little bit last year, I felt like. And now, you know, obviously this year, after, you know, a little bit of an uneven start, they've really become obviously a very good team and one of the best teams in the league here the second half of the year. And but I think a lot of people saw it coming, too, contrary to what I think he's played the little engine that could over there a little bit. I think a lot of people knew the Red Sox were coming this year. So, but I think he's one of the game's really good ones.
Yeah, whatever it takes. If that's what Alex Cora is using to motivate the fellas, then I am fine with that.
Put that on a motivational T-shirt, though. The little engine that could.
The little engine that could. Yep. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that is.
Oh, that's good.
That is good material. Good one,
Courtney. Okay, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, one of your Boston Red Sox, the guy actually taking the mound tonight, Garrett Crochet, was speaking to the media and talked about his decision to encourage the team to go business casual for their flight to New York. Really wanted them to dress up.
It's a business trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Bob Zettelman used to say.
Mm-hmm. Garrett Crochet explained why he did that.
You decided that the team would dress up a little bit on their way to New York. What went into that, and you know, why did you feel that was a good time to do it?
Yeah. I mean, I was telling the rookies when we were celebrating clinching, it's, you know, this could be the one time you get to do this as a major leaguer, so let's enjoy it and let's feel good about ourselves.
All right.
Yeah, business trip. I guess he overruled Alex Cora. At least that's what Alex Cora said, and sent a group text to the fellas and said, let's dress up a little bit.
Wear a collared shirt, fellas.
Why not?
Is there anything more annoying than finding out you have to dress up for something?
Collared shirts.
Yeah, dress for the job you want. That's what they say. Yeah. So hopefully they are dressing for round 2 of the playoffs.
We always had to wear suits when we traveled.
Yeah.
That was the thing that we always had to wear suits. Yeah. I mean, now it's a little
that
different.
That was prior to you getting to know your guy, Quazo. So you probably had to pay for the suit as opposed to just giving him free radio plugs.
And
all
remember,
the time.
Back then, the suits were a lot different than how my man Quazo makes them. Now they're a little bit more fitting.
Yep.
You know, they're
colorful.
Yeah. Back then, we were like, man, we had the big suits on like we were going to church, gaiters and everything. Like we were in an R&B group.
It's a bad memory, but is the most impactful attire for a big game, the 07 Giants wearing black for the Patriots funeral. Like, that was ballsy.
I would say the Letterman jackets by the Texans.
Oh, and then got blown out.
That was the opposite. Right.
I thought you meant like which,
like just... the best, like the Giants wore black.
Oh, okay.
They said they were coming to bury the Patriots' perfect season, and then they did.
All right. Oh, you top five best dress ups before the games. I would have to go number one, Miami Hurricanes when they came off the plane.
Number one,
the fatigues
and all fatigues.
Awesome.
Yes. So.
Was that against the Catholics, convicts? That was that thing?
I think that was against. That was like
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of what Matt Collins did last year for Halloween, showing up as Animal from The Muppets.
Okay.
That's on brand with you.
I know.
Can we have a segment dedicated to facts on his furry past? Or maybe furry current.
You've never dressed as a Muppet. Like I hope.
Not a Muppet.
Okay,
because
that would be even creepier than just being a furry. Which
yeah,
you
but
are.
They're not really furry. I would say. I mean, outside of like Fozzie Bear a little bit, but like, I guess Cookie Monster's a little furry, but not really.
Now, Wiggy, is it accurate that after Quazo made your last suit,
mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown went to him and asked him to please use trash next time because the amount of cloth that was used to make your suit was affecting the sustainability of Earth?
I mean, as long as this fits good. Okay. If it's a trash suit, I'll wear it. Okay. It's made with trash.
Right. What's next?
Well, Greg, it's funny you bring up Jaylen Brown because he was asking the very same question we've all been asking. What on earth is the keeper of the light for the New England Patriots? Mego asked him about that, our own Mego, and here is what Jaylen had to say.
Jaylen, you were at the Patriots game yesterday.
I was.
Part of the keeper of the light tradition. What does it mean to you to be able to take part in some of the larger area sports traditions like that? And where do you see yourself in kind of the local fabric of the sports scene here?
Do you know what the keeper of the light tradition is? Because I asked like five people and nobody...
It's like ringing the bell and a Wahlberg stands up there.
Yeah, but what is the ringing the bell? What does it symbolize? Does it symbolize anything or is it just, I was just like, alert everybody that the game is, okay, gotcha. Paul Revere? Okay, that's some American history. It was fun. Took some of the guys with me. It was a good experience. I'm scared of heights. That's something, so I didn't know that it was going to be that high up. I think I overcame my fears. So just because you have fears doesn't mean you should let them stop you from doing what you want to do.
Mm. All right, here you go.
Okay, I don't think it has anything to do with Paul Revere.
I have no clue.
I don't think so either.
There was no bell. Paul Revere was not ringing a bell.
He's in the old church house, right?
He was yelling, what's that?
The old North Church, right?
That well, yeah, I mean, do you know the other two dudes who were also riding their horses and yelling that the British are coming?
You've asked this question before. You've given this answer, and I don't remember their names.
Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
No, I believe it was Jimmy Winthrop and Peter Saugus. I thought it was something to do with like
a lighthouse.
Fishermen or like boats or something like that.
I thought it was like there's a lighthouse. You're the keeper of the light.
Right, but the light.
Yeah. Normally, lighthouses are on the ocean, but Wiggy,
that's the funny part.
Foxborough is like 40 minutes from the ocean.
Correct, but it like brings in New England tradition of being on the water. Lighthouses.
Gotcha.
Keeper of the light.
But doesn't that mean like for like the fishermen or the late boats are out there?
It's like the guiding light home.
I thought you would know this because don't you and Santo take a bunch of pictures in front of lighthouses?
Like, that was
what it stands for is. When anybody on this current team defense tries to tackle somebody and they get their bell rung. That's what it stands for.
All right,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
What? See what?
Honors the historic lighthouses of New England.
Well, Courtney, everybody knows that it's a lighthouse. Of course it honors.
So
the
why
lighthouse.
Was the question asked?
Because well, she was just asking if anybody knew what the tradition was.
He asked, but I'm saying.
What do you mean? Who asked?
Jaylen Brown asked.
Well,
he didn't know what the bell.
I don't think anybody knows what the bell.
No, he was asking what the keeper of the light meant.
Right, but then you're up there ringing the bell. Like I don't think anybody knows what that. I mean, the keeper of the light is somebody who lives at the lighthouse.
Right. And, okay, like, that's what I thought we were.
Yeah.
No, I just.
It's just funny that he asked like four people at the Patriots facility and nobody could tell.
Right. Like So when they're ringing the bell, does that mean? Enemy ships are coming. Does that mean, hey, the boys are coming back home from a long fishing trip?
Careful, it's a rocky coast.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what he was asking, and I wouldn't know about it. What does that mean?
It's only been there for like a year, so it's really not a tradition yet. Huh? I don't think. But
also, it's kind of a dumb one. If
you
we're
don't
being
like
honest.
It? I mean, it gets everybody pumped up. They can all look up there and go, hey, there's
the only time it was ever actually cool was when it was Tom Brady.
Well, yes.
Well, no, that's just because Tom Brady was there.
But I like Jaylen Brown doing it. I like when you have...
Well,
like,
Jaylen Brown just came with Mark Wahlberg. Mark Wahlberg was the one who did it.
Oh, all right. So that's a good one when you have the big celebrities doing it. Sometimes they'll just throw randos up there. Yeah. They'll be like, you know, Jimmy the firefighter will be up there ringing the bell.
I think Len Caird is going to do it at some point.
Oh, I think they always try to get a celebrity. No, they don't do like...
No, sometimes it's like rando celebrities, though. I'm like, who's that?
Can we get a Keep Their Heads Ringing rejoin, though, in honor of ringing the light?
Sure. Okay. What about Bonnie Pointer? You can ring my bell.
Ooh, that's a great one.
You can ring my bell.
You have a wider catalog.
That song rips. Can we play that one?
Anything else?
Yeah, one more quick one. Wiggy yesterday had a lead, great lead by Wiggy, as always, on the Patriots should go out and acquire A.J. Brown. Well, Nick Sirianni spoke to the media and believes A.J. Brown isn't going anywhere.
Yeah. You know, obviously A.J. is very important to this football team. You know, I know he wants to contribute. I know he wants to contribute and, you know, do the things that he's capable of doing. I question nothing about, you know, his desire to play great football, his desire of being a good teammate, his desire to be here.
Okay. I mean, you can answer this question better than anybody else, but he's on a team that's 4-0 and is probably going to be back at the Super Bowl. Wouldn't you prefer that to going somewhere else?
When you want to be the guy.
Yeah, Wiggy,
you've already won a Super Bowl.
Can I ask you a question? I heard this proposed, and I'm curious your thoughts as a former NFL tight end.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a player and you were in the Super Bowl, what would matter more to you? If you're a receiver specifically,
yep.
Having 10 for a buck 50 and like two touchdowns and losing, or having one catch for 7 yards and winning?
I would say one catch for 7 yards and winning, because that one catch could be the game winning catch to set up the field goal that you actually need to win the Super Bowl. So,
and Wiggy did that in Super Bowl 36.
Bingo. Yeah. So that catch will always be the catch that people remember, because if it wasn't for the 7 yards, now Vinatieri's kicking from a distance where he's not very good from. And so you need that extra 7 yards to make sure he's in his money range. And that one catch for 7 yards is the last thing that people remember before the field goal goes through the upright to start basically what has been a dynasty and all.
We're
of,
up against the clock.
Oh, sports Guess history. What? Sorry.
Well done, Wiggs. The other thing is, look at the amount of guys from the Patriots that are on TV everywhere. Look at the amount of guys locally. When you win championships, like look at Matt Chatham. He only tackled a streaker, but he had like a crepe shop. He's got like everybody from those teams are able to monetize winning, whereas the others, if you have a big game, you're not going to be quite as much in demand.
This is Jim from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Greg. Hey, love your show. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Courtney, congratulations.
Thank you, Jim.
I heard you guys talking about lighthouses, and I used to be a lighthouse keeper in Boston, at Boston Light.
Really?
Which is the oldest lighthouse in North America.
That was your job?
I was there for 2 years, and I was keeper of the light.
What were your duties?
Our duties, we'd do a week on, 4 days off. We'd send weather reports to
Sick Brag, bro.
Oh, it's scary.
And send weather reports to Logan and give tours out there.
Wow.
And, that was the last man lighthouse in North America.
Now, were there, you may not want to reveal this publicly, but were there lighthouse groupies that would show up because they loved the lighthouse?
Yeah. There was a lot of people that would show up and just want a tour. A lot of historians, you know.
What do you make as a keeper of the light?
It was awesome. I had my dog out there.
No, what do you make? What do you get paid? I'm just curious. I'm thinking of changing careers.
Well, I was active duty Coast Guard.
Oh, okay.
Sick brag, bro.
It wasn't much, Curtis.
Yeah. So you had to sleep out there in the lighthouse?
What happens in the light? Jim is saying what happens in the lighthouse stays in the lighthouse. A lot of groupies.
Kind of romantic.
We got to take a break. We will get to today's news next. Great call by our very own keeper of the window, Chris Curtis. Good one, Curtis. Well done there.
Yep. I am music. I like it. Music guy.
Ty Law coming up on a Ty Tuesday at 8:20 in 1/2 an hour. And then Craig Breslow will join us at 9 this morning.
He actually asked if we could replay that for his lead-in as well.
Chime's been using Pearl Jam because that was the one band that he was able to eventually identify as his favorite.
I've only played Pearl Jam rejoins for the Brezbot.
So, yeah. He's probably, I would say, full download on the analytics for tonight going on right now, and we will talk to Craig Breslow coming up at 9, but right now this.
It's time for
a shot of like an Ozempic or the fat, I call it the fat pill or the fat drug.
The news.
Sometimes it works, I guess, for people. The ones I've seen, it hasn't worked so well. I got a lot of friends, they're fat. They said, yeah, I lost some weight. I said, you don't look it to me.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
I don't think that you're a fat kid, but this is the fattest kid take of all time.
The news is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in men's sexual health, with 6 locations across New England. Learn more at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
Donald Trump unveiled a peace plan for Gaza after he had a meeting with Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at the White House yesterday. Here is Donald Trump.
Everyone understands that the ultimate result must be the elimination of any danger posed in the region, and that danger is caused by Hamas. The tyranny of terror has to end, and this is, again, something that we're looking for. This is eternity. This is for forever.
Well, I am old enough to remember 10 different Middle East proposals, Middle East peace proposals from various presidents of various parties. So I hope somehow that they can find a way through this. But it's very difficult. Yeah. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, I hope they can figure out something soon, especially as we get closer to October 7th, because we're coming up on 2 years. And yes, actually here in Boston, the Nova exhibit is now open for people to go see if you want to see what actually happened on that day to people that were just trying to enjoy a music festival. My one of my dear friends, Lily, just went to it and said she was brought around by a survivor from that day, and very impactful.
Yeah.
And YouTube has agreed to pay $24.5 million to settle a lawsuit filed by President Trump after he was suspended by social media platforms following the January 6th, 2021 insurrection.
The guy is collecting damages left and right, Curtis.
He needs it. That money. Yeah.
Well, did Jimmy Kimmel do a whole stand-up routine about censoring being bad then?
He's actually giving all the money to build the new ballroom at the White House.
Correct.
The renovations that they're doing in the White House, he is donating all of this money toward that effort.
Is that where they're going to hold that MMA event?
I thought they were doing that on the roof of the White House.
Is that what that is?
Yod.
By the way, also, the one of the more Trumpian responses of all time was in the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. He was asked how he was doing, and he immediately pivoted to the ballroom. He's like, the ballroom is beautiful. What in the world?
Greg's right, though, because he is collecting, because YouTube is the last of the three big tech social media companies sued by Trump.
Yeah.
So it included Meta and then Twitter, now called X.
Can we get
obviously
some money from Twitch for suspending us? Can we sue them?
I don't know.
Get a little bit of bread?
That's a boss man.
I don't think that would go to you. I think Glenn Laird would determine where that money went.
It was class action. I feel like it will trickle down. I want my $2.50.
I guess he'd have to include Angry Principal Dave and Butter and Lady Jade and everybody else that's in the Twitch chat. I guess
classless.
It was classless.
They could file that lawsuit. But we're back on Twitch. We're back on YouTube. Well, we were always on YouTube. YouTube doesn't suspend you for anything. Mm-hmm. That's why I love YouTube. But this show on both of those platforms, presented every single day by Springer's Jewelers. And for 150 years, as long as the lighthouse lights have been kept, they have been delivering incredible jewelry pieces and time pieces to those in New England. Go see Springer's in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, if you're buying a diamond every day. We will get to the rest of the news coming up, including what are we doing with Chris Curtis? And there is about to be Hollywood is abuzz, Curtis, because of an actress that they are calling the next Scarlett Johansson. And so we will get to that during What Are We Doing with Chris Curtis coming up next.